Good morning. Since it's Yom Tov Pesach, Pesach is the foundation of the Jewish nation. What is the essence of the Jewish nation? What is the foundation of the Jewish nation? Is Amunah. Belief. Like Habakkuk says, Bo Habakkuk v'amid alecha. Habakkuk founded and established the entire subject of Judaism in the creation. Amir of Tzadik ba'amunosa yichir, that the righteous person will live with his amunah, with his faith. The Rambam subdivided the subject which is called amunah into 13 principles, and he says, and this is called amunah. If any one of the 13 principles should miss, it's like the entire person doesn't exist. The best way to explain it is, why exactly the 13? Many commentaries have problems with that. They ask questions about it. Why Dafka 13? There's other, the Ikrim said there's only three basic things that you have to believe. But the truth of the matter is, if anyone is missing one pinpoint of a Yud in the Torah, it threw off everything. Somebody denies a pinpoint of a Torah, like it's nothing. So why did the Rambam put down exactly these 13 principles? And we'll try to learn inside what the Rambam's language is, how much emphasis he put on these 13 principles of belief, that we really have to know it. But we have to understand, what is the 13 principles? Why Dafka 13? So the best way to explain it is as follows. A human being is put together, what they call a Tariag Averim, 613 limbs and parts, organs, which puts together a human being. But you could live, you could miss some of them. If you miss an arm, if you miss a leg, if you miss a kidney, you could live without it. Certain things, which is even very, very important, but it's not crucial to every split second of your life. Obviously, a stomach is very important, but you could live for a certain time without a stomach, if the stomach doesn't function. You could live for a certain time without the pancreas, without the kidneys at all. Eventually it catches up. But if somebody temporarily removes the stomach from you, you could still go on living. It's not a total fatal that you can't live. But there are certain organs that you cannot be without even a split second. You can't be without the heart, you can't be without the brain, you can't be without the lung, you need the oxygen. There's something that is called Everim Shaneshoma Tolu Behem. Those are organs where the life is depending on. It's a support system which every second you have to be connected to. So I would like to make that explanation. What the Rambam tries to put up, the 13 principles of belief, is a complete Jew has to have all the mitzvahs, all the Torah, every belief. If you're missing the pinpoint, it's wrong. You shouldn't miss anything. You can't deny anything. But it's not so fatal, Chas v'Shalom, if you miss something. It's just like you don't want to lose a finger, you don't want to lose a hand. But it's not fatal. But these 13 principles, the 13 parts in the 613 mitzvahs, which is fatal. You can't be a split second without it. And that will be our job. How do you apply, how do you introduce those 13 principles? How is it so relevant to us, the 13 principles, every split second? And what is the consequences if you don't believe in one of them? You doubt one of the 13 principles. There's a tremendous consequences. And the best way to justify it, we have to use the language of the Rambam himself. And I will quote the Rambam word by word, because it's very hard even to digest. If the Rambam wouldn't have said it so clearly, and most people don't, I must tell you, most people, I myself for many, many, many years were not aware of it. And even I got aware of it. The Rambam said it, we didn't take it seriously. It's very hard to understand what the Rambam means here. What's the Rambam? The Rambam looks as follows. It says in Perush HaMishnayos, where he puts together all the 13 principles, and when he concluded the 13 principles, then he says, "Kasher yamin ha'odam elu yasoides kulam," and a person will believe those foundations, those principles, all of them, the 13. "When it's varer ba amunosa behem," and it has been totally convinced the truthness of it. If a person fully convincingly believes in 13 principles of belief, Who nechnes b'chlal Yisrael? He is considered being a part of the Jewish nation. He's nechnes b'chlal. He's a Jew. That's, if you want to know what is the quality of a Jew, what is the essence of a Jew? The one who is absolutely convinced of the eternal principles of beliefs. He is an absolute Jew. So what is the man he's a Jew? So it goes up. Mitzvah lahava. It's a mitzvah to love him. The racham olav to mercy at him. Like after the you have to love a Jew. Melina Grimoy, you have to conduct with him. Kol ma'ashativ Hashem mezvor chishtachare. Everything which Hashem demands us in the Torah, interaction between man to man. This Jew has a this man, but since he believes in the 13 principles of beliefs, he's considered a Jew. You have to love him, and you have to love minahava, love achva, brotherhood. Vafilo also ma'ashiyochol minaveiros, and even if Chas v'Shalom he transgressed one of the sins, machmas ha'tayva, because he lost. Even he's a sinner because of lust. His gavra sateva garua and his bad nature overpowered him and pulled him down, and he misbehaved. Even he doesn't behave as a real Jew, who nenesh, he will be punished because kefichet according to sin. He gets his punishment according to sin. Aval yesh lo chelek avot, he still has a share in the world to come, and he still has to love it. In other words, we go through a process of cleansing by punishment in this world, the world to come. Even a person is a sinner, but he's still a part of the Jewish nation. He's a sinner, but he's a Jew. You have to love him, you have to care for him. He's considered a Jew. So Rama says very simply, what is the quality of a Jew? What is the essence of a Jew? The essence of a Jew is the one who believes in the 13 principles of beliefs. He believes. Now, then we're going to have to explain, what does it mean believing? How do you define the word believing? Why not? What is the belief? And the Rambam concludes, and I'm saying it just to document the fact, the words of the Rambam, and then we're going to see how difficult and how crucial it is. If one of the principles have been destroyed, he's not so sure about it. He's throwing doubts in one of the principles. One of them, he went out of the klal, he went out of Judaism. The kofar ve'ikar, he denied everything. He denied the whole essence of existence of Hashem, of the Creator, everything. The nikro, in the man has been called mean, darpe koiras, he's called a heretic, a non-believer. The koitzes benetias, he's disconnecting, chopping off the roots. We are rooted. We say every morning, v'chayo oilam nota besacheni, God had planted us into this world, that we should grow, we have a connection. He creates a benetias, he chops off those roots, and therefore, look what the Rambam says, and it's the voice of the Rambam, mitzvah lesano, it's a commandment to hate him, ula abdo, to destroy him. It's a mitzvah to hate this person and to destroy the person. All of them are, and this on this person who doubts one of the 13 principles of those beliefs, the Pasuk says in Tehillim, haloi, senech Hashem esno, those who hate you, God, I hate them. Those who rebel against you are going to fight them. I have a passionate hatred against them. They're my enemies. According to Rambam, now this has to be explained, that's the reason we're sitting in Titus scan to justify these words. If a man is doubting one of the 13 principles of belief, which we're going to learn in these days, doubts it, doesn't accept him, he hasn't got belief in the one of the 13, he's an enemy of God. He's rebellious against God. You have to hate him, you have to destroy him, you have to uproot him, and he's your enemy. And that has to be understood. Now, the Briskerov was asked, now there's many people who are good people, good intended people, but they're misinformed. Let's take the hardest one, or the most neglected of the 13 principles of belief. We could understand somebody doesn't believe, or maybe we should go too fast, the 13 principles, just to have an idea. The first of it is to believe Hashem around the world, he does everything. Well, you could understand, when you give credit for somebody else, something would happen without Hashem, are we putting Hashem on the side? So we could maybe understand why he's so harsh against this person who doubts that Hashem is involved in everything. The second thing to believe is you have to believe that Hashem is one, there's no oneness like him. Well, that needs explanation for himself, others mean he is one. But okay, he's still challenging the essence of God. you have to believe that we cannot understand it, we can't comprehend it, we never understand it, we're never going to get out. The Sigur Mesigur Guf. He's not a body, he's not any picture. Again, because you don't materialize God. Good, and that's the third one. The fourth, that he's the beginning and he's the end, he always existed, always will be. Fine. This four has to do with God. But then comes, you have to believe that you could talk to him, you could pray to him. You have to believe in being a prayer. You need something, talk to him. Shalom the Father is public. And don't talk to anyone else, no, nobody else. No to astrology, no to any other forces. You speak direct to God. And if you don't believe that you could talk to God, I mean, we're going to explain it. He says, you're hating God. It's a mission to destroy this person. The sixth one is to believe this prophecy. That Hashem speaks to people. And we have prophets. And those prophets, Hashem spoke to them, revealed to them. If you doubt the prophets, then you're doubting everything, because the only connection you have to God is through Torah, and Torah was given over to prophets. The sixth, seventh one is you have to believe in the prophecy of Moshe Rabbeinu, that he was the father of all prophets. If you doubt that, everything is originating from Moshe Rabbeinu, so then the whole thing is questionable. So you have to believe in all the prophets of Moshe Rabbeinu, you have to believe in all the prophets of all the other prophets, and that's more deeper than this. You have to believe that God had built a person with the qualification to receive messages from God. That's really the real insight in the Rambam. Shalakim medaber es bnei Adam. You have to believe that you are a person, Hashem created you, and to remember that eventually you have a potential of communicating with God, that God could speak to you. When we speak about davening, speaking to God, you have to believe that you could talk to God, God is listening to you. And every time you open up your mouth to speak to God, you have to believe that you could talk to God. Therefore, man is called medaber, a speaker. You could talk to them, you could have to talk to Hashem. And you also have to believe that you have in yourself, in your genes, you have been structured in such a way that once it's developed, you could receive, God could speak to you too. You speak to God at tefillah, and the real prophecy that God speaks to you, and you get clear messages from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And there's a high type of a message, that's the Nevuah of Moshe Rabbeinu, which is totally clear, which is unquestionable. All of these things you have to believe it. Now, if you doubt, now just let's stop here for a moment. According to Rambam, if you doubt that in the whole concept that man could get prophecy, God could speak to them, so you're hating God. The whole thing, Kofar Be'ikar, Kaitlis Benetias, you disconnected all the roots. You have to be hated, you have to be destroyed, you're rebellious against God. So what's being you so humble enough that no, God cannot speak to me? And then further we go, we have to believe that the Torah which was given to us is the original Torah which was given to Moshe Rabbeinu. Every word of the Torah which we told Shabbat and told Shabbat Pei, all this, everything was given to Moshe Rabbeinu, we have to believe. And then you have to believe that this Torah is never going to be changed. Because what is the Torah? The Torah is the desire of God. And God is never changing, so we can also never change. So, we have to believe in the concept that we have been created in such a phase, in such a form, that eventually we could speak to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And then, next thing we were holding, that the Torah is never going to be changed. Everything which we have, the Torah is given to Moshe Rabbeinu by God himself. Now when you say this Torah which we have means everything, all the way down, even to the rabbis, what they're saying today. Now with the Torah who rules halacha, according to the rules of the Torah, everything, Chazal tell us, she'kol ma she'talmid vasik, osir l'chadash, everything which any Talmud, any student who's going to be machadash in Torah, the principles of this, everything has been given over to Moshe Rabbeinu, everything was. And we know this many times, and the Gemara says, how we know this? Halacha lo Moshe Messina, we receive from Moshe Messina. So you understand, if you don't believe this, then you uprooting everything. The next thing is the Torah is never going to be changed, because changes is only possible by human being. A human being says, first I meant like that, now I'm changing my mind. I thought it was going to work like this, and what it didn't work like this, I'm changing my mind. God never changes his mind, because nothing stands against HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu never makes mistakes. Whatever he decides, that's it. If that's Motori was the Rosh Hashanah, that's the desire of Hashem, it's not changeable. So therefore we can't expect anything should be, the practice of the Torah could be changed, because we live in different timings. So now we pass according to the Hillel, Mashiach will come and pass according to the Shammai. But both of them is the Rosh Hashanah, both of them Hashem desired it. And therefore we have so many different opinions in the Torah, different halachos in the Torah. Now how could we both if it's contradiction? I think both of them is truth, and both of them has to be applied, and both of them has to be implemented. But since the Torah was given for all times, for all Jews, for all circumstances, for all situations, so in a pre-advance Hashem had given all the different rulings which is fitting the special timing, and therefore the rabbis in those generations could apply it. Now the halacha is like that, and previous halacha was like that, and this place is halacha like that. The Sfardim rule according to Beis Yosef, and the Ashkenazim called according to Remo, and therefore we could have different people because we have different missions and different functions, and according our mission and function, that's the way the Torah is, but the Torah is all the same Torah. Ilu vilu divil kim chai. Then we have to believe that Hashem knows everything which is being done. In registers everything. Hashem knows there isn't a slight thing which bypasses, which is not documented and recorded, which doesn't leave an impact in the creation. Now this, then you have to believe that Hashem doesn't overlook everything. There's nothing which Hashem is overlooking. In other words, if you misbehave, the behavior of a person is a cause and effect situation. Hashem is not rewarding or punishing. It's not the issue of reward or punishment. Hashem made a system. Just like there's a natural system, if you go against natural system, you're going to bear the consequences. And if you eat healthy food, you'll be healthy. If you eat poison, you're going to get sick. So there's a system which is carrying up to the eventual, to the spiritual, ultimate world, and according to your behavior, you're being affected. So if you misbehave, you get the results. It's not punishment. Somebody jumps off the Empire State Building and he got killed. It wasn't a punishment. God punished him, he got killed. He jumped, he got killed. It's a cause and effect. And it's like, what is happening? And then you have to believe in the coming of Mashiach, and you have to wait for Mashiach. That has to be discussed everyone individually. And finally, you have to believe in resurrection. Here's some lesson. This physical body which you possess today, remember that you're going to be stuck with it forever. And take good care of them, and feed them properly, dress them properly, and respect them properly, because God's never going to get rid of them. Doesn't matter how old you became, how sick you became, what it is, because you are. Those are the 13 principles of belief. We just said it in faith, so finish. Later on, we're going to explain it individually. So look at the Rambam. If anyone questions one of the 13 principles, he denied everything. He denied everything. Now, what is an innocent person was never exposed to this information, and he doesn't believe in Chesed Hamesim, doesn't believe he's got to be resurrected. What is it his fault? So the Bris could have said a tradition which is very hard to accept. He says, for fun, that's the bottom line. The issue is not that he doesn't know it because he didn't want to know it. If somebody throws you off of the Empire State Building, get killed. But he didn't want to jump. He was thrown down. It's a cause and effect. That's what Greece goes. It's never happy coitus. If somebody doesn't believe a 13 principle of belief, he could be as innocent is, it's never happy coitus. That's the opinion of the Greece girl. It's a very, very hard thing to, in the Rambam says, anyone doesn't believe one of the 13 principles, it doesn't matter why he doesn't believe. You can't claim innocently. Now, somebody jumps off the Empire State Building and says, I didn't know that you get killed if you jump off. I didn't know that you're not supposed to stand next to a drunk guy, a homeless drunk fellow, and stand the edge of the building because he's going to throw you off. So what is it my fault that he's a drunk guy, threw me off, actually get killed? The answer is, it's cause and effect. That's the answer of the Briskerov. And here right away, I'm stopping in a... It's a very hard thing to accept. Today, especially today's age, that you have so many good Jews who have unfortunate relatives and sometimes parents who don't believe in those 13 principles of belief. They think it's like a Sheneshbo. And to say they're totally written off, you have to hate them, you have to destroy them, because they hate Hashem. It's a very hard, we have to reconcile this information. How do we reconcile with the effects of life? I came up with a teretz, and matter of fact, I got a scum of that. That what is a Jew? The one who believes in a certain principle of belief. How about a cripple? A child comes into the world and he grew up all his life being a cripple that is brain dead. Was never thinking. He doesn't believe any of the 13 principles of belief. Does he have Olam Haba? Of course he has Olam Haba. But he doesn't believe. He doesn't believe. The answer is, the one who had the ability to believe, the one who has the capacity to believe, and choose not to believe, he's the one who loses everything. Now, it doesn't matter why he chooses not to believe. Was because he was very much by society, by his parents. Because every man who has a clear sanity and is a thinking person is concerned about his life. And people always try to know, people ask information. And something which you're concerned with, sincerely concerned with, you're looking for answers. And a sincere person who looks for true answers, there's no way that he has not been exposed to true answer. And if he didn't get it, because he rejected it, because he didn't like it. It was a decision not to accept. However, shall there be a person who has no capacity, no ability to believe in those concepts, for various reasons? Or he was brainwashed so deeply as a child that there's no way that he could even think, then he's a cripple. It's no different than a handicapped person. Just like a physical handicapped person does have olam habo, also he cannot think. Same thing, such thing as a spiritual handicapped person. And that we could say that many, many of today's secular Jews, they're mamash handicapped. They're mamash handicapped. See, the handicapped, they're not in the category. But we're speaking of a person who's not handicapped. The person who does think, the person who does make, he, Zog the Rambam, that he has no, he went out of everything, he's losing everything. And therefore the Rambam says, and I'm quoting further the verse, Hine, therefore, Hirachtuvit Vodim Harbe, I extended it, the explanation with Tosmini Chaburi. I meant, he went out of his style of his writing. Usually the Rambam, everything which he writes is very precise, very to the point, and never says excessive words. The Rambam, you could count every word you could build a whole, how do you call it, building salad. But in this area, says the Rambam, I went out of my style, in the road of my land, I will see, so why did I made it? If you should easily buy, I saw in this Te'eles Bamuno. I saw a tremendous advantage that in order to believe. The fish is after all, but very my ilim. I collected here many important, valuable things, which is all spread out in different books, and therefore you have to know them, and you have to be successful in your knowledge. The Chazoyer Aleim Pomim Rabbos, you have to go through on them many times. You have to rehearse them again and again and again. With body stuff, you always have to go deeper into this concept. And if you would think for a moment, then you're going to think that you know already, you understand already, from once learning, even 10 times, Hashem knows the truth, that really that you got carried away with lies. And therefore, you shouldn't read them fast and hastily, because I put them together for you that you should concentrate on it with bonus and very deep concentration. And since I saw there's many different opinions in this subject, which is true and not true, and I know which one you're supposed to believe and which one is absolute in different opinions, therefore I combine them to you, put you together so that you should learn it again and again. And I could tell you from my own experience that many, many years I had the privilege to teach it for myself and teach it in public for various level 13 principles. And there's never, ever when you go in it again and again and again that you don't get a certain deeper insight in the whole concept. So let's hope also, even some of you maybe heard me in the past about the subject, but as the Rambam says, it's not that we know it once or even 10 times, you have to go through it because this is our life. So I would like to put down a very few first introductions to the whole subject. First of all, I would like to ask you a question. What is the quality of a Jew? What is the function, what is the definition of a human being? When I speak human being, I'll talk about the Jew. What is the quality, you know, a tape recorder, you know, the function of a tape recorder is it tapes, right? It tapes, it records. It records. The function of a chair is you sit on it, period. The function of a cup, you drink in it. That's the function of that. The tape recorder's function is it has to record. If it doesn't record, maybe beautiful, maybe nice, maybe everything, but it doesn't do its job. What is the function of a human being? And I don't mind getting your answers. With what are we, especially the function of a Jew, That means you have to produce, you have to function, and if you function, you qualified, you did what you're supposed to do. If you don't do it, you just exist. You're not functioning, yes? Okay. It's not so. The sun does the willing of Hashem. The dog does the will of Hashem. The tree does. The whole creation is doing the will of Hashem. Hashem didn't create at once surplus things in this world. And everything, by the way, the tape recorder also does the function of Hashem.
Yeah, that's
right. So you mean to say that you have a choice not to do it, and you choose to do it. So it's not what you do is the function of you, the function is what you choose. The truth of the matter is, a human being is a chooser. In order to choose, you have to have a desire. Right? Without a desire, you don't choose. Without a desire, you don't, when you sleep, you don't choose. You have to have a rotzen, you have to have a desire. Now here comes the question, what is a desire? In order to be you, Yankel is Yankel. Why is Yankel? Like Yankel is choosing. What is he choosing? He chooses what he wants, what he desires, a rotzen. Why does he want it? It must be that rotzen, that's what he wants. He is the one who wants it, and nobody is imposing on him that rotzen. If I have a power of telepathy, you know, if I'm a brain twister, how is it called? Suppose I look at you, okay, and I capture your mind. And I could make you go into your pocket and empty it out and be given the money, give everything over to me. There are people who have this power to do it. So what do you say? I have a desire to give up my money and I choose to give you the money. Is it you? No, it's me. It wasn't your desire. I captivated your mind. And I did it my mind. I bended your mind. I made you to do what I wanted. It's not your option. But you say, but I gave it willingly. I wanted it. I chose it, yes. But it wasn't your choice. It wasn't your rotzen. I created the rotzen. I made the rotzen by you two. You should have. You understand? Are you with me? Let's go back again. What is a human being? So when you bring it down to the point, you know what a human being is? A human being is, who am I? The absolute net I. What I and only I want. That's the I. If a person has no desires, listen very carefully, if a person has no wanting, he's not a human being. Because you don't want anything. Since the whole production of a human being is that he's choosing between good and bad, and the choice has to be his choice, and the choice has to be done with his rotzen, with his desire. Now, his desire is to be his. If not, there is no him. If I bend a person's desire, it's somebody else. If I control people, take a guru who has a commune and has a bunch of constituents which brainwashes them, and he controls them, a whole bunch of them. The zombies. The old zombies, they don't do anything what they want. The guru holds their mind. He could commit, you know, Jones, man, took 800-900 people to him and committed suicide. Was capable to do whatever he wanted. I mean, they stopped existing for a long time before. They were dead much before they died. The minute they stop thinking, they don't choose, they can't express their desire, which they desire. Somebody else holds their desire. It's not a Jew. Is that taken for granted? Now, here comes the issue. Who could say that you have an absolute free desire, that nobody is forcing, nobody is intervening with your desire? Who could say that you have a desire, society has no impact on you? Obviously, again, if Hashem is the one who created me, and Hashem wants a relationship with me, and Hashem gave me whatever He gave me, Hashem gave me that I am a chooser, and a chooser means that He gave me that I could have a rotzen, I could have a desire. It must be my desire. And the desire of a person has to be so powerful that nothing in the world could oppose the desire of a person. And even before we go into our basic problem is, why don't we understand more very essential, important things? Because we're missing a lot of introductions to those things. You don't even begin to know what a human being is to begin with. So let me introduce you, what is the quality of human being is? The quality of human being is that you could develop your own desire, and nobody could stand against your desire. Nobody could captivate your desire and mold them, unless you subject yourself to it. But if you have a desire, your desire prevails, and that is going to run your life, and nobody could go against desire. And I say nobody, forgive me the expression of my language, even Hashem, even God will not go against your desire. Why? Because the minute he goes against your desire, you're not a human being. He killed you. He killed you. What is the difference if a man, if God takes a person, he kills him? He killed him. Now what happened to kill them is, from now on you don't function. You don't choose, because there's nobody who to choose. Because he killed him. What will happen? God will take him, he will make him into an angel. In history was such a thing. Hanoch was a very big righteous person. He disappeared because God took him. And he converted him into an angel, and now he's one of the biggest malochim called Maloch Matat, and he's one of the biggest servants of God. But he got killed. He's not a human being, because he hasn't got his own choice. He's a big servant of God, like everything services God. The Son is also servicing God. When you give up your mind, listen carefully, that you don't have your own desire, and you let yourself being carried by anyone, whoever that is, from good to bad, you cease to exist. But you're fulfilling a purpose. But it's not you. The Son also feels a purpose. This chair I'm sitting on is also feeling a purpose, but there's nothing there. I am only I when I know what I want, and I want it, and my wanting came from me because it's my desire, it's my self-developed desire. If I've been brainwashed, I've been trained, and I've been conditioned to want, it's not you. And to prove that's the greatest gift which humanity has. And that's, by the way, here we're going to, it's an introduction to faith. It's an introduction to faith. It'll bring to that a few proofs, beginning from history of creation, all the way down to Tzius Mitzrayim, and a little bit after that too. That when Hashem created every subject which he created, he gave him a credential why he created him. And so the tree is a tree, the mountain is a mountain, and the animal is an animal. And everyone has his service. The difference is between the only one servant, creature, which is a human being, which Hashem had not fixed them in any fixed position. Every creature God created, you could, from his minute of his existence, you could figure out what he's going to be, a few percent up and down. A monkey gave birth to a monkey, a donkey gave birth to a donkey, you could figure out what will be in the process of the life of the donkey. You could figure out almost precisely to the point how much he's going to eat and how much he's going to drink and how much he's going to breed. You could figure out a few percent up and down, play it, you could figure him out. A little baby comes into the world. Nobody has the vaguest idea if he's going to grow up a Chofetz Chaim or he's going to grow up a Hitler. Nobody has any idea what he's going to grow up. He could be the worst and he could be the best. You could have the same family, the same training, the same everything, twins. One is Esav, one is Yaakov. How could Esav grow up in the house of Yitzchak? And how could Yaakov grow up in the house of Lavan? Because that's the quality of, that's the individuality which Hashem gives to every individual human being. And this is actually capitalized in the state, end over Oymed Bifnei Arotzen. There is nothing in the world, even Hashem, will not stand against your desire. The desire which you could formulate on your own, if you use your brain, the faculty which God gave you, and if you make up a desire, that's what you are. You are, as the Rambam says, the man is the, where is the man where his desire is? You could sit here and be an Eretz-Yisrael because your desire is there. You could be in business and be a Ben Torah because your desire is to be a Ben Torah. You could be in Torah and be in business because your desire is being in business. So the Rambam says, the man is where his rotzen is. The man is where his wishes are, what desire is, what he lives for, what is his values, and those values have to be totally yours. Now, to prove it, let's go first from the negative point to the positive. Who could be a more accomplished, completed person as Adam HaRishon? Hashem created Adam HaRishon, the most perfect person. He saw from one end to the other end. From the beginning of the generation to all the generation. He was a prophet. He saw everything. If you believe it or not, Adam Rishon, he lived 5,761 years ago, before he sinned. He heard my lecture. And he heard what I'm talking about him. And I hope he's going to forgive me when I'm going to talk about him. Because he saw everything. He saw everything. If you understand it, to bring it down to our foolish muscle, is like you have a preview on a video, you have a movie, a 2-hour movie, and you're getting a fast preview on the whole movie. So you just zoom it through in 2 minutes, in 3 minutes, you got the whole picture too. So after that, you play it slowly. Other magician had a preview on 6,000 years of history. For all mankind, so every generation, all behaviors, every tragedy, every part he saw, and he saw everything is the beauty of God. He says, Marabu Masech Hashem, how beautiful is your deeds, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Kula Mechach, Mosis, everything is done by you, Hashem. He appreciated every robot she had done. That was Adam Rishon, with the most utmost beauty. And Hashem puts him into the world, with the world is a Gan Eden, a Garden of Eden. That means to say everything is justified, everything is beautiful. Hashem shows him everything, this is all made for you to enjoy it. That's the purpose I created you. And Hashem warns him, look at the beautiful world I gave you. And Hashem tells him, tend out or pay attention, don't destroy, don't damage my world. God warns him. Now, where did God give him the opportunity to destroy his world? So God gives everything over to him, says, eat from all the trees, enjoy everything. Except one thing I'm excluding from you that you can't touch. The tree of wisdom, don't eat from this one tree. Because the day you eat from this tree, you're going to die. Which means to say you cease to exist. You're destroying everything. You're losing everything. See, you see the world that you have. And he sees the tree, and very tempted to eat. It's beautiful to eat, to look, and tempted to eat. He's tempted to eat, and he has to make a decision. And he made a decision. What was the decision? To give up everything for the momentary gratification to eat from that tree. That means end of Narotsun. Nothing was holding back from his desire. His desire was to eat. Ah, you know what you're going to lose. You speak to Hashem, like you speak a person to a person. You have total clarity. But when I want to eat, I'm stronger than everything. I'm stronger than Hashem. Hashem kaviyochol vidru. Hashem says, I'm not going to crush you. I'm not going to control you. Because you are what you want to be. And if you want to eat, if you decided that you're willing to give up, I'm not going to stand in your way. All your information, all your knowledge is not going to stand in your way. You're going to do what you want. And that's actually the greatest introduction to man, to Adam was, when, and by the way, that's one of his temptations, why he had to prove his greatness. He says, I'm the strongest person, nobody stands against me. And he tested it. You know, as I said, the Moshe always goes, when you see a new painted wall, and there's a sign, don't touch, wet paint, you see a lot of fingerprints there. Why? Because you don't touch, you have to test. It's a fingerprint. Hashem says, don't touch, you're dangerous, you're destroying the world. He has, I can't believe it, is it really so? But me eating from the tree, I'm going to destroy the whole world, I'm going to destroy the whole human race. You have to test. Why don't you believe? Why don't you believe? He's not believing. You only believe, you have to be self-convinced. And if you're self-convinced, he was the first our subject. He was the first contradiction or the first challenge. Are you believing Hashem or do you have to test Hashem? And his desire to be self-tested overran his belief in Hashem's words, and he gave up everything which he had and he ate from the tree. Now the same thing happened with the Jewish people after coming out from Egypt, seeing the 10 plagues, seeing Kriyas Yam Suf fleeing of the Red Sea, coming into the desert, living supernaturally. There was not one component of life where they had a natural way of existence. They had to be fed and dressed and sheltered, all in a supernatural way. And they live like that already, and then they experience Matmat Har Sinai, the revelation of God in Sinai. Hashem speaks to them directly, and every single Jew saw and heard Hashem, Anoich Hashem Elech, I'm the God, you God who took out of Mitzrayim. Whatever that is, and 40 days later. 40 days. So 40 days, by the way, dead reached a high as Adam Rishon was before he sinned. Poskozam Osam, deceased to die. Matter of fact, they all passed out in Sinai. Hashem resurrected them. They all experienced Chiyus Amesim. In other words, they came to a position as we will become after Mashiach, after Chiyus Amesim. They came back to the original Adam Rishon as he was before he sinned. Before he sinned. And what is happening? Moshe Rabbeinu says to them, I'm going up to heaven, I'm coming down after 40, I'm coming down after 40 days, I'm coming back. And after 40 days, he doesn't come back. Moshe is late. It was a miscalculation, he came back. He doesn't. There was the first loophole in the truthness of the Torah. Here, you know, Moshe didn't say it wasn't correct. Moshe says he's going to come in the end of the 40 days, and he didn't appear. What do? They take the first loophole. Be a little bit patient. Wait the other day. No, Moshe said, I'm coming back in the end of the 40 days. It's not the end of the 40 days. He missed it. They jump the gun. They make the golden calf. And threw everything off. Why? Because the rotzen of a person, the desire of a person is to be free. He's free. So, because of his desire, to want to leave Egypt, he was likely to leave Egypt. Because of his desire to want to receive Torah, he had received Torah. But after he had received Torah, everything which he accomplished with his own desire, but there's another desire there which was totally not uprooted. He was not willing to give up his own desire of being a free person. Now, there's a conflict in a person. Many times we have two desires and then conflict. One end, I want to be Gevaldik, and I said, who doesn't want to learn Shas in one night? You want to finish Shas in one night, but you want to sleep too at the same time, right? You want to accomplish both, right? Who doesn't want it? Question is, but there's other desire. I want to sleep. I want to learn, but I want to sleep. So you say, I wanted to learn, but why did you sleep? Because you also wanted to sleep. Question, who is stronger? So I wanted Torah. I wanted to come out of Mitzrayah, but I also wanted to be free. Now who is stronger? So Hashem comes a little test. It throws a little question in the validity of the truthness of Moshe Rabbeinu. That Moshe says, I'm coming the end of the 40 days, and they wait for the first opportunity. Moshe disappointed us. He didn't stick up to his words. He's not totally truth. And at the first opportunity, they jumped on it. Moshe lied, and boom. And they threw everything away. And they made the golden calf. End of an obvious. Nothing stands against your wish. Your wish to be free is stronger. Seeing Hashem in Sinai, seeing Hashem by Kriyas Yam Suf, eating man every day. That's the greatness of a desire of a person. Now that was in the negative side. Now that's in the positive side. In the positive side, the opposite happened. Avraham Avinu comes into the world after 20 generations, when the entire 20 generations had rebelled against God. And the climax, the highest rebellion against God, that the entire world got together, all united on one subject, to go against God, to free themselves from the autonomy of God. The third demand testifies that effect. Avraham Avinu was 48 years old when this took place, the Migdal Bavel, when they built the Tower of Bavel. And the third said, He called the whole world, Sofech, the whole world, we got one language. Dvorim Achodim, one interest. Where does the world have one interest, one language? Can you tell me? Today's world, take today's Western culture, America. What subject they are all united? All express it in a different way, but they're all united. It comes to food. Right? Food is the number one industry in the world. Everyone he's eating pizza, the other one is eating falafel. Doesn't matter, but it's food. Fast food, whatever it is. Doesn't matter which brand name it is, if it's Pizza Hut or McDonald's. Doesn't matter. Or entertainment. There's the second biggest industry. Who is not united in entertainment? And one has a different entertainment. But it's entertainment, food. That means the world is united at one point, have to be entertained, have to be fed. How are you being fed? You have different opinions. Same thing was, he called orders the whole world of Sofer had one language, one interest. They all get united. What was the pinpoint which they were all united? Just make me free. Just get me free of this God. I want to be a free person, a free bird. That was the climax of other magicians' freedom. Same thing as Egel Ozov. And they appointed Nimrod, which was the king of the world, and they all worshipped him as a god. Not to believe that he is a god, not to believe that he could satisfy me with one thing you do, give me what I need the most, get free of the real god. We will believe in anything because everyone does it. That's what the Migdal Babel. And comes into this world one individual called Avraham, Echad Avraham. It was one single individual, and he had another desire. His desire wanted to be to live the truth. He needs the true God. And the whole world was opposed to him. His father, his king, society, and even his own big Rebbe, which was Noach Hashem. They didn't believe what they could do. And Avraham Avinu believed in his desire. I want to be a servant of God. I want to give myself back to God. All of you want to be free of God, and I want to be totally surrendered to God. Total surrender. If it means I have to die, I die. But did anything stood against him? Nobody taught him. Nobody taught him. The opposite. They all fought him. And he made it. So here we see a rotzen. Again. A man's desire is his. You could have everything the best, and if you have desire to be free, you would throw everything away for that little freedom which you want. You could be subjected and everything and captivated by society totally, but if you have the desire to be free of society and to be one single person against the whole world, you have the ability to do it too. That's a problem. That's a positive test. And then Hashem promises to Avraham Avinu, because Avraham Avinu was tested, his desire was tested with all terrible tests, 10 tests. And finally Hashem gives him the exclusivity that Yisrael is going to be your children. The people who I created, other Marishim, but you lost his title, so by his sin, I'm going to give it to your children. But in order for them to obtain it, they're going to have to prove also, do they have the same desire as you? Again, Hashem tells them they're going to go down to Mitzrayim, to Egypt, they're going to be there for 400 years, and then they're going to come out by being born into Israel. Now who came out? Only 20% came out. 80% disappeared. Why? Had no desire to live. We speak about it every year, but this is a mitzvah to me. This is a mitzvah to note every time that you have to leave Egypt. But this you have to leave Egypt every split second of your life. You have to be in the process of leaving. How do you reality fulfill this mitzvah? Chol dor v'dor chayvod amiras esapsan. Every Jewish person has to see himself kilu hu yos, like you yourself are leaving Mitzrayim. How do you fulfill it? Let's be very practical, honest this morning. I'm being commanded now. You have to look at yourself. You are now presently leaving Mitzrayim. What does it mean leaving Mitzrayim? Where is Mitzrayim? How do I leave? And let's say I left yesterday. So how do you leave again? You keep leaving, you keep going back to Mitzrayim. How do you keep leaving all the time? You have to remember leaving Mitzrayim every day and a whole day. Every split second you have to be in a process, leave. Where do I leave from? And why is it dependent? And if a person does not leave Mitzrayim, you're in Mitzrayim. That's the desire of leaving Mitzrayim, we have to understand. So what happened? When Hashem promises to Avraham Avinu that your children, they're going to make up the chemistry of the Jewish nation, they're going to become my servants, but you just don't get it on golden platters just because you're born Jewish, stuck with a Jew. You could lose it. Just like other magicians lost it. And the Jewish people lost it too by the egg of the golden calf. And Avraham Avinu got it because he captured it back. Your children to become Israel, they're also going to have to choose it. So Hashem puts them in a situation. Now look at what situation it puts them. It puts them into a Holocaust. It puts them into a Mitzrayim. And they know via here for a time that eventually we're going to be redeemed. And then we're going to become Israel. So let's imagine, we all know Mashiach is going to come. And we're all being promised that Mashiach will going to come, and Hashem, our troubles are over, and then the whole purpose of creation goes into action. The whole relation with Kadosh Baruch Hu goes into action. We're going to all enjoy ourselves according to Rishon before He sent in the Gan Eden. We all know that. But we know there's a condition. In order for after Mashiach to come to see that redemption, first you have to go down to the Holocaust. You have to be in Treblinka, you have to be in Auschwitz, you have to be exposed to be killed and murdered, your children, your wife, your husband. Exactly what you went through in the Holocaust. Okay, too bad. This is the price that you have to. Your day after Hashem said, Avraham Avinu, Kugeri Ezerach, which you're going to go down to the Holocaust. For all of the videos, they're going to be processed and killed and prosecuted for 400 years. But for Africa, but after Yitzhak Chush God, they're going to go down with a big fortune. They're going to make it. So they knew in advance the precondition to be Zayka, to be privileged to see Mashiach and the whole purpose of creation, you have to go through a process of a Holocaust. And now we're in the midst of the Holocaust. And here we are now literally in Auschwitz, in Treblinka. And a Redeemer Moshe Rabbeinu comes, Mashiach is coming. And it shows all, says, Yidden, the time came to leave. Get ready, we're going to leave. And we, all the promises is going to be fulfilled. We're going to receive the Torah, we become the chosen people, we become the servants of God. Get ready. And it brings proofs, all the proofs. The stick turns into a snake, and the water into blood. And he gives him 10, I call him 10 makas, he gives him 10 seminars, Seminar Dam, Seminar Tzefadeh, Seminar Kinim. 1 week seminar, 3 weeks registration. 1 week seminar, 3 weeks registration. For 10 months, a whole week, yeah. And by the 10th seminar, the seminar Kinim, the Mitzrim are screaming, yelling, yes, but Kinim, it's all a finger of God, it's all, they all know the facts. And comes to the 9th seminar, to Makas Choshech, 80% refuse to leave. How could you be so dumb? How could you be so dumb? Yesterday you just took your child and threw him into the river. And you see, Moshe Rabbeinu proved all of him. How can you not leave? The answer is, you know what leaving means? Surrender to God. Give up your freedom. I have no desire to give up my freedom. I'm a Mitzri. I'm captivated. I'm a slave. I'm a slave to myself. I'm not willing to get free to give up my freedom. But don't you see where you are in the Holocaust? And don't you see what you're going to get? If you didn't decide to give up your freedom, nobody could make it. Not Moshe Rabbeinu, not 10 seminars, nothing, nobody could make it. Nobody could make it. And that is exactly the first thing we have to understand. What is faith? What is faith? Which would have been, if you just gave the introduction to the Rambam. Faith has to be something which is as powerful as reality you see from the fact that you could change and mold you desire. Yes, I want to be free. So who stands against my freedom? But if I'm going to do whatever I want, there's a God, there's a system, but you don't see him. You know, the famous story goes that a person sinned and came to the Rebbe, and the Rebbe rebuked him, said, how could you do such a terrible sin? Don't you know there's a Gehenna? And opens up Ereshis Chochma. Ereshis Chochma is a book, a big Musa Sefer. It opens up the Shara Gehenna, the gate of Gehenna, describes the terrible punishment which you get for every little sin. He says, aren't you afraid? Don't you believe the Ereshis Chochma? He says, of course I believe Ereshis Chochma. So how can you do it? But the Rebbe, on the street, if I would see on the street the Ereshis Chochma, wherever I go, and the Yetzer Hara would be in the bookshelf, that wouldn't be a problem. The problem is on the street to see the Yetzer Hara, there's Chochma is hidden in the bookshelf. I don't see him over there. He's lacking the faith. He doesn't have the faith. He doesn't believe. You have to see it, because your freedom is stronger than your faith. And that's what we have to intensify, the belief has to be intensified, that you could change your desires. If you haven't got the rotzen, the faith is not as strong as you desire. Your desire will always going to be stronger than your faith. You're falling. You're losing everything out. And that's what why do you have to remember leaving Mitzrayim? You have to remember the process just by leaving Mitzrayim. First of all, what I'm doing in Mitzrayim. Mitzrayim was a promise, it was a gift which was given to Avraham Avinu. Hashem promised Avraham Avinu he's going to make the Mashiach. But the condition in order to make, they're going to go to Eretz Yisrael, Zachet, and so on. But the condition, first you're going to have to go to a Holocaust. And why? Because in a Holocaust you're going to have to prove who you are. Do you want to leave or not? Now, why are we still in the Holocaust thousands of years after that? Why is there a goal still? Bovel, Moda, Evan, Yovan, Edan, Vepog. Because we came out before the time. Why? To give us, everyone sitting here in this room, the opportunity to give self-expression, just like the Jews in Mitzrayim had. The Jews were in Mitzrayim. Why were the Jews in Mitzrayim? Because they're children of Avraham Mitzrayim, yeah, because Hashem promised them. They were not there by choice. Only Sapir Adiber. They were there because it was promised. I'm today not a Jew because I choose to be a Jew. I'm today a Jew because I'm promised to be a Jew. Hashem said to Avraham, your children are going to be Jews. So I was a born Jew. But does not mean, just because you're Mitzrayim, and just because you're born of a Jew, that you're going to make it. You're only going to make it if you believe in it, and if you want it, and if you desire it. That was the 12th Animamim. Animamim will be a Mashiach. I believe that everything is leading up to a redemption. Even I could exist very well without him, have my own desires. My own desires. I'm pretty much successful in business, in my career, and have what I want. This could upper pishis mame. Also, I could live very well without Mashiach. I could survive very well without him. Even because the hakol are waiting for him, I want him. Therefore, one of the first questions will be when we die. Is Beis Hashemad asked? Sipiso le Yeshua. Had you looked forward for your redemption? What do you ask? Even guess, do you want it? In other words, Mashiach may come today, just like Moshe Rabbeinu came in Mitzrayim, and Mashiach today will show us no less miracles as Moshe Rabbeinu showed in Mitzrayim. It will give 10 seminars to the whole world. It's going to be no doubts in our mind that this is the true Mashiach. And still, I'm not going to make it because I don't want him today. I'm not looking for him. I'm still happy to be where I am. I want to be free. And if you don't want him now, you can't have him then. Very interesting. You can't override your desire, even no matter what is shown to you. Just like Adam Rishon, everything was shown to him and he lost it. We lost everything. We saw everything. We lost it. But at the same time, if I desire today, the whole world could go against me. But if I have a real desire, you're going to make it like Avraham Avinu made it. So it comes out, Hashem, it's not the right language to say, but Hashem made so the world that he's not capable to take you out of Mitzrayim if you don't want to leave. What could Hashem do more than he did? Sending Moshe Rabbeinu, the 10 makos, and giving us the mit, everything. And 80% decided not to go. Hashem couldn't make them want to go. Of course Hashem could, but if he would make them to want to go, it's not them, it's Hashem. Who are there? They don't exist. Hashem would kill them. Let me give one other beautiful side. The big famous story. The Rambam wants to use the example, the opposite of Moshe Rabbeinu. When the Rambam says in Hilchos Tshuva that every person has freedom of choice. Now that's the person. Remember who you are. You have freedom of choice. What is freedom of choice? You could be a tzaddik as Moshe Rabbeinu and a rosha as Yeravam ben Nevat. Moshe Rabbeinu was the Rebbe of entire Klal Yisrael. You could become a Rebbe of entire Klal Yisrael. How? We're not going to get into. If you're really interested, you want to know, I'll teach you. You could become a Rebbe for Klal Yisrael. If you really, really want it, if you're willing to pay any price for that, you become it. In your little capacity where you are, you're a teacher for Klal Yisrael. But we're not going to go into that. But the Rambam says, every person has freedom of choice. That's the quality of a person. You have a desire. What desire? You could be a tzaddik like Moshe Rabbeinu. You could be a rosh as Yeravam ben Nevat. Now, who is Yeravam ben Nevat? Yeravam ben Nevat, just like Moshe Rabbeinu was the biggest mezakeh rabbin, he made other people to become close to God. Yeravam ben Nevat means machtes rabbin. He made others to sin. Now, to know, in order to appreciate, I have to give a little introduction to Yeravam ben Nevat. Yeravam ben Nevat was a very great man. Very, very great man. Yeravam ben Nevat was the only one who had the guts to speak out against the corruption which is Malchus Yehuda, was in kingship of Yehuda, which is the son of Shlomo Melech of Rechavam, and he spoke up even against Shlomo Melech. It's a whole long story. I'm going to try to make it as short as possible. Shlomo Melech got carried away with his success. Shlomo Melech was the smartest person in the world. Yechkam Shlomo Kolodam. Shlomo was a holy, holy Mashiach. Hashem was anointed by Kodesh Baruch Hu. He would have been Melech HaMashiach, really, if he would have made his mistake. But he made a mistake. What was his mistake? He saw two things. He saw that he captured the whole world. He had 1,000 wives, 700 wives, and 300 concubines. Why? Because the entire world, wherever there was any nation, any dignified prince, anything, they were so fascinated with the greatness of Shlomo Melech that he came to Shlomo Melech, hearing his seminars, his lectures. And those days, the style was that you wanted to please somebody, you gave your daughter as a wife. And he offered them the daughter, and Shlomo Melech purposely accepted it. Why? Because he wanted to have a handle over all these big families. 1,000 kingships, 1,000 leaders. And everyone had a daughter who was given to Shlomo Melech. Shlomo Melech converted them to be kosher wives. And he built for everyone a palace, that in order to attract the family of the daughter to come and to visit the daughter, in order to have access to Shlomo Melech, to hear the wisdom of Shlomo Melech, to convert the entire world to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's the job of Mashiach. Mashiach is to bring the whole world back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And Shlomo Melech Sotei his mission accomplished. He has it. He has the handle over the entire world. Everyone appreciates him. And he wanted to make comfortable for all the nations to come up. But he made one little mistake. The Torah says a king shouldn't take too many wives. He couldn't have more than how much? 18 wives, the maximum. He couldn't have too many wives. In order to yat his levova, he shouldn't bend his heart. Because you have too many women, and they start controlling you. You can't control them too much. So you shouldn't have too many wives. And Shlomo Melech says, I'm allowed to take more. Why? Because I'm the smartest person. I wouldn't have the stupid woman bending my life. And since Hashem is giving it to me, I'm doing it L'Shem Shemaim. I want to have a handle over the world. And by having the tie, he meant it L'Shem Shemaim. But he made a mistake. Yes? The bottom line is, he was definitely smart. And you see, it's not our subject, but if you ask me that, I'm going to tell you. You have to understand, the Torah says as follows. The king shouldn't take too many wives. In order, he shouldn't bend his heart. The question, how are you looking at it? Where was the mistake of Shlomo Melech? The mistake of Shlomo Melech was, if you say the reason why Hashem says don't take too many wives because they're going to bend your heart, she says, well, I'm an exception. My head cannot be. I'm the smartest person of the world. So maybe it's not applicable to me. If you learn Pshat, the Torah said don't carry too many women because they're going to bend your wives, then you could make this mistake. But the truth is not like that. The Torah is others. Hashem says, don't carry too many wives. Why? Because they're going to bend your wives. Means to say, the rule is a rule. And if you obey that rule, they're going to bend your mind. The rules of Hashem is not because of a reason. The reason is a result because of the ruling. And this is in the whole Torah. The modern way of looking at the Torah is, as you say, the Torah gives us rulings because of a reason. So the poem came in because the reason today is not applicable, so therefore the ruling is not a ruling. Or, but it's not applicable. But we say the opposite. A ruling of Hashem is a ruling of Hashem independent of the reason. But once Hashem gave us a ruling, the ruling has a cause and effect, that the reason comes out. In other words, if Shlomo Melech would have read it properly, Hashem says, should not have wives, more than too many wives. What is the result if you will have too many wives? They're going to bend your heart, even your Shlomo Melech, and they bend his heart. So what happened? Instead of Shlomo Melech to succeed, to attract 1,000 families to come out to Yerushalayim to teach him Torah, they should go home and should throw out away the Zoras. What did he do? Instead of exporting Torah to the world, they imported all the idols of the world into Yerushalayim. And there wasn't a city in the world which was a collection of all different idols as it was in Jerusalem. That every family, every foreign concept, every foreign thing bought in their relationship, bought in, smuggled it in, and for every window, the smoke of the idols of the incense which they was makter, it became a very corrupt city. Now what happened? Now, this was hurting the sages very much. The sages were very hurt. They saw the city getting more and more corrupt. But they respected Shlomo Melech. Shlomo Melech was a Mashiach Hashem, was a holy, holy personality. And they were afraid to speak up against the king. And everyone was afraid to somebody speak up, Moedet B'Malchus, you're playing with your life. There was one person who couldn't take it, was the Rav Ben Avot. Yeravam Ben Avot was the greatest person. The Chazal tell us all the sages of these were like grass compared to him in knowledge and greatness. Yeravam Ben Avot. So what did he do? He endangered his life. He took 1,500 people with him. And he went up to Yerushalayim. And he gave Musa for Shlomo Melech. But he knew he was going to pay with his life. And he says, you, Father David, opened up many gates in the walls of Yerushalayim from all four sides in order to make easier access for every Jew comes to Yerushalayim to enter Yerushalayim fast. You shouldn't have to go around the walls. Opened up many gateways from around Yerushalayim, that sooner in fast you should be able to come into Yerushalayim. That's what the king, that your father David did. And you, Shlomo, you closed up all the gates of Yerushalayim. You left open only one gate. You put a toll gate there in order to collect money to support your 1,000 wives. And when he said it, he ran for his life. Because the FT Chesnev should have been killed. He spoke against the king. He played with his life and had to run away with his people, ran into the desert to save his life. So actually, he jeopardized his life. It was a big, big tzaddik of Ben Avad. However, what happened? So Chiyah Sheloini was a prophet. Chiyah Sheloini came to him and it says to Yerav Ben Avad, because you did this, because you were zealous that you stood up for HaKadosh Baruch Hu's honor, and you endangered your life to save Musa to Shlomo Melech, therefore Hashem is going to divide the kingship of the Jewish people into two kingships, and you're going to become the king over 10 tribes. He became Melech Yisrael. You can imagine how great he was. So he did a very righteous act, that he gained kingship over the entire Klal Yisrael into 10 generations. Shlomo Erechav, the king of Yehuda, was only left with Yehuda and Binyamin, only 2 tribes. 10 tribes was given to Yerav Ben Avad. But what? There was one slight, remarkable sin over there. Kedaber Ephraim Reseis, you said it in Eftori 3 weeks ago, when Ephraim spoke up hastily, zealously, kanoiznik, when Ephraim, he was, Rambam Avot was in the sense of Ephraim of Yosef. When he spoke up against Shlomo Melech and gave Musar, his tone of speech was raised a little bit over and above that he really meant it to Shem Shemaim, that actually the jealousy between Yosef and Yehuda spoke up. The jealousy, because that's Malchus Yehuda, because the kingship belongs to Yehuda. And the jealousy which had the kingship of Yosef, Ephraim. Kedaber Ephraim says, Ephraim spoke out a little, his tomb was a little bit higher than really he meant. That little gaiva, that little elevation which he elevated his voice, because it was anger, it was in jealousy. There he failed. That little bit of gaiva failed. And what happens? When a person sins, we're all human beings. We all fail. Therefore, immediately you have to do tshuva. If you do tshuva, you stop it. But the minute you don't do tshuva, avera greiris avera. Avera brings the other sin, and the other sin makes the other sin. It starts mushrooming and mushrooming and mushrooming, snowballing, and becomes a major, major, major sin. And that happened to Rav Ben Avad. His sin was a very slight sin. His act was gewaldic. His act was great. His act was rewarded. He became a king because of his act. He jeopardized his life. But in this great act, there was one element that jealousy spoke out, that higher voice which he elevated, his voice, and he didn't realize after that, you know. Now, you could say, I'm a human being, I'm not an angel. And if I ever had an opportunity, I really meant Hashem L'Shem Shemaim. So while I was talking, I had an extra push because I was a little bit jealous too, to say that. It's not that you did wrong was wrong. But after you did wrong, why don't you do tshuva? We always have to go back and researching what played the role when I did. What was 100% pure. While I'm doing... Let me give you an example, you know. Let's see, you daven for the omit, you're a good bad filler. Okay? So you want to daven L'Shem Shemaim, you really have in mind, but you also have a little mind that, you know, she has a good voice, that people should like you daven, you should ask you again to daven. You're a human being. You can't, you're not an angel. But after davening, you broke and said, why do I have this stupid thing in my mind? You're davening for not Kosh Baruch, you think what people think about you. It's, the issue is not that we are foolproof, that we never fail. No, we fail. Shevi Yipol Tzadik. Failure is not when you fail. Failure is what you do after you fail. If you don't recognize that you failed and stop it, then that starts snowballing. And that your Rav Ben Avad didn't recognize. He got carried away with the reward which he got. Oh, I became king. I'm really greater. Hashem really rewarded me. And he forgot the overlook to make home research where I was a little bit wrong, because he got carried away with a great gift. And because he got carried away, he didn't think about his mistake. His mistake started snowballing until it became the biggest chote machte, that he justified everything which he wanted to do. He stopped people to go up to Yerushalayim, because Yerushalayim is a corrupt city. And then Shlomo Melech died, Rehoboam the king, the son became king, and became even worse. since the people shouldn't be oiler regel. The Torah said people have to be oiler regel. So, but no, he meant to Lashem Shemaim, people are going to get spoiled. You're going to go to Yerushalayim, you're going to get spoiled. Like, if you don't go to Israel, you're going to become a Zionist. You know, you're not allowed to go there. But the Jewish people came to the camp, they used to go every Yom Tov, you have to go to Beis HaMikdash. Okay, I'm going to make your own Beis HaMikdash. He made his own tabernacle, and if you need, he made his own Kruvim figures. The kids began Ovid Avodah Zarah, became the worst Chayte Machtes Aram. So that's the history of Rabban Ben Avot. They became the worst sinner. Now, let's go back to our subject. I just gave introduction to our subject. The Gemara tells, Kodesh Baruch Hu tofes lo bezigdo. Kodesh Baruch Hu got a hold of the garment of the kapot of Rav Ben Avot. It says, Chazoyer Baruch, do tshuva. Please do tshuva, come back. Veniva ato ben Yishai, and I, God, and ben Yishai, the son of Yishai, which is David, ve'ato and you, netar beGan Eden. We're going to be in Gan Eden, we three are going to go in Gan Eden. Do tshuva. And Rav Ben Avot asks Hashem, Nibara, but who's going to be on top, me or him? Says he's going to be still on top. So if that's the case, I don't want to do tshuva. And he got lost forever. Till today, he's the biggest Rav Ben Avot. Let's ask a question. Hashem wants to make about tshuva after Rav. First of all, why does he deserve it? Why does Hashem grab my kapot and say chazor bach and promise me? Hashem grabs the Rav Ben Avot and says, do tshuva, and he promises him, he bribes him with the greatest bribery which could be. You and Ben Yisha and me are going to be, we three, we're going to be in Gan Eden. We're going to make it together, three. And then, yes, then, and where does he have this stupid guts? He says, Miba, who's going to, you deserve that? Yeah, about Shuvah, David the Melech is a tzaddik. Miba, who's going to be on top? He says, Ben Yisha, he's going to be on top. So if that's the case, I don't want. Either give me everything, either nothing. I already got lost. I wouldn't be second in command. Either the first, either be nothing. And he got everything, and he lost everything. What do we see here? And over on the Pharaoh, Kodesh Baruch Hu says, I want to make you about tshuva, but I can't make you desire. Now, what's the pshat? Where did you pull in? Where did Hashem stopped? It's being explained in the Sforim, the Arvin Ach particularly asked this question. It says, many a person sins, he said, it stopped with a very small sin, that's your sin. But after, if you didn't do tshuva, and that snowballs into bigger and bigger, bigger sins, why should we be punished on the other sins? The other sins is already the result. A person should really be penalized only for his first sin. But the second, third, and fourth is already a consequent result. Why should we penalize for that? It's compounded. But that's already... You got your punishment for your first one. Then compounding, why should it be in that? So Avin Achor explains, Enochanava, that's the reason why Hashem makes many of us bala tshuva even over and above our desires. Sometimes a person is compelled to do tshuva. You know, sometimes a person gets an issue, gets a knock over their head, or gets a weakness, and gets a pull. That Hashem, and a person didn't even go, but all of a sudden he sees himself, goes to a seminar, comes to that, it became about tshuva. Why? He says, because all the sins, which was not a direct choice by the person, it was a result of a previous smaller sin which compounded, on that area Hashem makes him about tshuva. But he only brings him back to the first station where he himself sinned. There he has to do it himself. Yeravam Ben Avot was a very great person. He only made a very slight little sin. Kedabe Refraim says when he spoke a little bit in a higher tone than he's supposed to. That was his own choice sin. Everything what happened after that was a result of a compounded that became the worst and the worst. So all the worst part of that, Hashem took him in his garment and said, do tshuva, he pulls him back. You know, it helps him to become a tshuva. But only to the first station. Ami Barosh. The jealousy which you had with Yehuda, Nibirosh, there you have to make a decision. Now, Rav Ben Avot was such a smart person. He knew how deep he fell. And here he gets an opportunity, and Hashem tells him, come back. And you're going to be second in command. And again he chooses not to do it. He says, either everything, either nothing. You see that nothing stands against the rosh of a person. Nothing stands against the rosh of a person. And this is, by the way, that's exactly what we're going to explain now. In every generation, a person has to see himself where he goes out of Mitzrayim. Every person has in a miniature way the same play which Rav Ben Avot had. We all have our original faults where I personally with my choice had failed, and maybe in a small scale. But if you don't rectify them, you're going to fall deeper and deeper, and you're going to become totally slave in your own Mitzrayim. You're going to get into onto Memtashavatuma. Let's see, Rabbi Menavati made a very small sin when he spoke a little bit, elevated his voice of jealousy. But where he fell? He fell into the lowest part, he fell into Mitzrayim. What did Hashem do? Hashem took him out of that Mitzrayim. He pulled him out of Mitzrayim, but he only pulled him out to the first sin which he actually made. There you have to go out. And if you decide then not to go out from that little part, you all fall back all the way to Mitzrayim. That's exactly what you're going to all allow. What is the Mitzrayim? A person, hold the Chavod of Israel, says, Atzma Kiliyotz Mitzrayim, a new insight. Hashem is always redeeming us. Goyel. He's redeeming me from a lowness where I'm in a such a low, which is a result of my original decision. But Hashem threw me down, snowballed me down. We all fell down. And it's to the mouth to become you're just handicapped. From those handicappedness, Hashem is the goyel, Hashem is the redeemer. But there is always a point where Hashem cannot redeem you. Where did you originate that handicappedness? Where was your own decision made? And there you have to be a yotzer. In every given moment in life, we have a choice to make. And what is the choice? To recognize what is in my own capacity, my own choice which I have today, where I have to get out. And that every person has to remember. So this is called choice, and this is called leaving Mitzrayim. Leaving after Hashem had taken you out of Mitzrayim. Hashem had showed you everything in order to have made you capable to get out of the depth where you are, but he will never help you to get out from that part where you yourself put yourself in. You put yourself into it, you yourself to do tshuva. And that answers many times what we see, and many boys in yeshiva have this experience. In the Baal Tshuva world, it's a very experience. I had many times boys come up to me, but tshuva is for many years. So I don't understand. In the beginning, when I became a tshuva, I used to learn so well, and it was to fight the world, and I had no problem. I was so excited about it, and I was so happy with it, and so was it. And today, every little thing I have to fight. It's like I feel. Says yes, because in the beginning you were handicapped, and the handicapped is Hashem pulled you out. Tov is called the Vigdai. But Hashem brings you back to the point where you have to fight yourself. There you have the same battle as every tzaddik has. Every person has the same battle. You tell them one of it. Yes.
The daily prior struggle to want the Yitzchak and Triumph and the people of Yeshua, are those one and the same thing, or are there different aspects?
Look, the truth of the matter is, every day that we live has a function. We have to accomplish something every day. Why is Hashem giving me this day? I can't live on yesterday's accomplishment. I'm not an existence person, I'm a living person. Hashem is continuously Atam Shamra Bekirbi, Kurbokus Shemachadish Bukhar Tomasa Breshis. So obviously, every day which we live acts a day that we have to find, articulate the roots, and what does Hashem want? What do I want today that I want to get out from? Where I'm in Mitzrayim and I'm handicapped, and ask Hashem help me out when I'm gone. And there's no duplicate days. There's no duplicate accomplishments. Yes?
That Hashem allows us to go in our will. So I'm just curious, in terms of people that struggle though with certain things, like the desire to want to get married, and you see now that people that are looking for a very long time or employment or whatever the situation is, how do you answer that? It is our true desire to want to get married. It is our true desire to get married.
I'm happy you asked the question, because this is just a terrible misunderstanding. And the end of it, many people interpret, nothing stands against your will, you're going to get it. It's not true, that doesn't mean that. Nothing stands against your will, nothing stands against you not to want what you want, but it doesn't mean that you're going to get it. Many people make this mistake.
Nothing stands against the want?
Nothing in the world stands against your desire that you should desire. It doesn't mean that you're going to get what you desire. Pshat is end over omri fina rotsen. Nothing stands against the rotsen. Doesn't mean that you could do. His question was, how many people want all the good things? Doesn't go. Now, here comes the situation. The fact that I'm a businessman and I want to learn shas. I would love to learn shas. And I really appreciate learning shas. And I help everyone else who's learning shas. And I would love to learn every free moment. But I know I can't learn shas. What you can't, that's not your problem, but you should want it. Why don't you want it at least? Why don't you want it at least? At the best, I will explain it to you. You know, I always say the joke. This, but the joke is hitting the message on the head. And a person came to Rebbe, he says, Rebbe, give me a blessing. Machach become Moshe Rabbeinu.
What?
Machach become Moshe Rabbeinu. I have a desire of my child to become Moshe Rabbeinu. Give me a brocha. My child should become Moshe Rabbeinu. Says, who's that person? Why does my... Because I want my child to be Moshe Rabbeinu. So would you settle for less? I give a brocha to Bakiva. Vishim Beuchai. He says, no, I'm not settling for less. I want Moshe Rabbeinu. Nothing less than Moshe Rabbeinu. So what happened to you? He says, Rebbe, I'm a simple Jew. I'm a believer. I learned Rambam Hilchos Tshuva, and Rambam says in Hilchos Tshuva, every person has a choice to be a tzaddik like Moshe Rabbeinu and to be a Rosh Hashanah. So I believe the Rambam. If I could be a tzaddik like Moshe Rabbeinu, why should I want less? So give me a bracha. So the Rebbe starts yelling, you're a hypocrite, you're a liar, you don't believe the Rambam. So don't you see, I do believe, and I'm settling for less? I said, no, you don't believe the Rambam. Because if you'd really believe the Rambam, you would ask a Rebbe, give me a bracha, I should become Moshe Rabbeinu. Why don't you ask a bracha for yourself? The Rambam didn't know me. The Rambam would have known me. He wouldn't say every person could become like Moshe Rabbeinu. I know myself. My child still has a choice. He still has a chance. I know myself. So we don't believe the Rambam. Now, the mice, so how do you understand the Rambam? The answer is, the Rambam doesn't say that you're going to become Moshe Rabbeinu, but you could want to be Moshe Rabbeinu. You could want. What stops you not to want? Now, take Avraham Avinu. Avraham Avinu was a child of Terach. He was surrounded with the evil. He was surrounded with Nimrod. The whole world ganged up against him. Now, what was in the ego trip? What was he? He was Napoleon. He thinks I could throw the whole world. It would be crazy. The fact I cannot do does not deprive me of wanting to do. When he recognized Hashem, the whole world is lying. I'm looking for the truth. Give me the Torah. Hashem, please, I want to live it. I'm willing to die for that. Give me the Torah. You just ask what you want. Doesn't mean Hashem has to give it. But you are not what you are. You are what you want to be. What you're willing to pay a price for. You're not being penalized. As the famous word of Rebbe Zisha says, I'm not afraid of... Hashem would say, why aren't you not Moshe Rabbeinu? Zisha, why is not Zisha? Why don't you want to be what you want to be? Why don't you want the greatness? Now, question, why do you take this thing in your mind that you could? The answer is, the truth of the matter is, I cannot do anything. I could only do what Hashem is giving me, and Hashem could do everything. Hashem could take a bigger Shlemin and make him into Moshe Rabbeinu, if that's what he wants. Now, why did Moshe Rabbeinu become Moshe Rabbeinu? Because he believed he could become Moshe Rabbeinu. Why did he believe? He was the most humble person. Only a humble person could really believe and want. Because a humble person says, who is the one who cannot believe in something which he cannot be? Because the person says, this far I could do it, further that I cannot do it. But you believe that little bit you could do, but more than that you cannot do. So you stop, you're limiting yourself. But if you're extremely humble, you say, I'm not one, I cannot do anything, and I need the help of Hashem of every move. So if I need Hashem, Hashem could do everything. In other words, if you understand, without Hashem I'm a nothing, with Hashem I'm everything. And that is the desire which you should not stop. That desire we should have all the way to the end. And our problem is that we are limiting our desire to our capacity, our capability, which is wrong. Our capability is actually adjusted according to our desire. The deeper and higher and stronger desire you have, to that extent Hashem makes you capable to deliver. And we're saying it every morning and every night. We're saying it in Krishna. We say, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Echad, understand you. Hashem is one, and I'm one, and I'm willing to die for him. Love Hashem with all your heart, with both of your hearts. It's a tovitzara. Cholav shecha even takes your heart, life away. What situation? Love Hashem, give everything Hashem. Yeah. But when it comes to practicing the ma'isa mitzvah, so when tishma mitzvah is something, it doesn't say b'chol avachon, b'chol ma'adechem, say b'chol avachon avachon, not b'chol ma'adechem. There's certain things which you cannot. In other words, the first thing is Kabbalah said to take on the yoke of Hashem. You desire to give up. The second thing is to deliver. Deliver, I could say I'm limited. But you desire? Our desire should be unlimited. Our problem is that we, a Kabbalah Sol Malchus Shemam, which we take on the yoke of heaven, is already, we take him up with a limited ability according how much I expect that I could deliver. And since I cannot deliver anything. Now, Chazal Ta'ilam, also, if Hashem would have not helped us, Lo Yochel, we could never overcome any Yitzhar. You know, people have, you know, this area I'm okay, this is too much for me. Here you're okay. Why are you okay? Because Hashem helped you. If Hashem wouldn't have helped me to say it, you wouldn't be okay in anything. That's called humble. So if you say, Hashem, if I myself cannot do anything in the little bit which I deserve because you helped me, can't you help me more? Hashem, you are limited, you could help me more. So it comes out, dafka humbleness, real humbleness, allows you to have unlimited desire. Because you could say, Hashem, me on my own, I'm totally not capable of anything. The little bit of Hashem which I had accomplished was only your help. So please help me further. So a person sees himself today leaving Mitzvah. What is Mitzvah? Mitzvah means you're a crippled slave. And Baruch Hashem, yesterday I was a crippled slave in this area. And Baruch Hashem, today I'm free to cut out. Why did you cut out? Hashem took you out. Why did Hashem took you out? Because he wanted. I get credit. Those who didn't want, Hashem couldn't take him out. Because I wanted to get out, Hashem. So yesterday when I was crippled, Baruch Hashem, I made it, I came out because Hashem helped me. Why? Because I wanted. If that's the case, so why don't you want today to go further? Because I'm crippled. Yesterday you went out when you crippled because you wanted. So further, want today again. So Hashem's going to take out a new crippling. You could go, that means you could have the unlimited trots as Moshe Rabbeinu had. Why? Because you're humble. I know that on my own I cannot make one step. On my own I'm not going to make one step. The fact I made a few steps is because Hashem pushed me, helped me. Why did he help me? Because I wanted it. If I wanted it, so why don't you want further? If you don't want, you're not going out of Mitzrayim today. That's called practical, leaving Mitzrayim today. Tomorrow we're going to start off with explaining what is the definition of faith, of Amunah. And then we're going to go into these 13 principles.
מגוון שיעורי כל הלשון נמסרים על ידי מגדי שיעורים ורבנים המשקיעים מזמנם וכוחם ללמד לרבים. אם ברצונכם וביכולתכם לסייע ולתמוך במגדי השיעורים ובמוסדות התורה שבאחריותם, תוכלו ליצור קשר ישיר עם הרבנים. לקבלת פרטי מגדי השיעורים ניתן לפנות למשרדי כל הלשון בטלפון 02-581-6622 או בכתובת דואר אלקטרוני lstrudel.kol@hl.com